I'd like to say good morning to you.
Good morning.
Amen. It's good to see everybody, and seems like everybody's kind of awake this morning. That's good. I've been really enjoying those songs, Brother Nathan. I know we call them the old songs, but I think they're the good songs. I like it when I know them and I can sing along. It don't matter where, Brother Dale, but when you're with the congregation, or whether it be at home or somewhere else visiting, and you get together and sing those songs, I like that. That's a blessing to me. I appreciate that. I do have a couple of announcements, and I did, again, just want to mention, let's do, and I know we are, but let's do be in prayer for the Hodges family and the loss of those little twins. That's just really been on my heart, and I know they need our prayers. Words are not sufficient. Me and Brandy were talking about that, and she said, I just don't know what to say. And I said, honey, sometimes there's really not much you can say, but we pray. But we just pray, and we ask for the Lord to help us and be with us, and let's remember that. And also, this week, or Monday through Thursday, I'll be in a conference in Ohio for work. So Brother Tim said he'd fill in for me on Wednesday night, but I just wanted to let you know where it'd be. And if you need me, call me. Just let me know. Reach out to me, and I'll be glad to try to help any way I can. But let's be turning to 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. I guess in a way it never really ceases to amaze me how the Lord works with us and deals with us on a daily basis. You know, as a preacher, you know that Sunday morning is coming. You know that Wednesday night is coming, and it would pay you to be prepared to teach or preach or have what the Lord would have for you to say. And sometimes it does come easy. Sometimes it comes harder. And sometimes I feel like, Lord, I'm the one that needs preaching to more so maybe than the congregation. Sometimes I feel like it's directed definitely toward me. And I was praying yesterday and just really trying to prepare and just kind of, you know, it's one of those days that, you know, not upset about anything, but you just have down days or kind of blah days. And you're just like, Lord, what's wrong? I want to be involved. I want to be excited. What's wrong? But, you know, the flesh is what it is. And you and I need encouraging along the way. That's just kind of how we're designed. That's kind of how we're designed to be. We're going to have up days and down days and kind of ins and outs. And just really, the Lord just kind of honed it right in, right on time as he does. And I thank him for that. And I just pray that this is a blessing to all of us, an encouragement. You know, he knows why he put what he put in the Bible for a reason. And I just thank him for it. And I was thinking back to some time about a verse. I was thinking about Proverbs chapter 27:17, and it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And that's a verse that has grown to be more and more meaningful to me this year. I remember a time a few months ago when Dr. Elliott at with the school board, he's telling me about him. He was retiring, and he's sharing that with us and the board members. And it just came to me one night. We would check in with each other pretty regular, and this verse came to mind. And I sent that to him. And I, you know, there's some people, just honestly, that you spend time around them, they'll make you a sharper person. They'll help you. You know, our time at church should absolutely be that way. We should sharpen one another. We should uplift the countenance of one another. We have God's holy word. We should be the most confident people on the planet. Would you not agree? I mean, amen. We got the word of God, and we were sharing that with one another, and it just kind of meant something. It became kind of our verse, if you will, something that meant something to us. And even for Christmas, he got us a gift. It was a knife, and he actually inscribed this verse in the card that he sent with us all. That was pretty meaningful. That was pretty good. You know, you and I should sharpen one another. And I was kind of thinking back to a time, and you know, I guess this was is definitely pre-COVID, but it was a time that I kind of got into this primitive idea, I'll say it right here, idea of camping. You know, you see things like, man, I want to try that. I want to be good with my hands, be able to start a fire without using matches. You know, you just hit rocks together, Brother Curtis. Yeah, I mean, a man's man, you know what I mean? I was like, I want to do that. I think that's awesome. And I tried forever, had a little flint thing. I guess I picked it up at Walmart. That's probably the first mistake. And I picked that up, and I was trying to start a fire with some toilet paper, and I couldn't get that thing to light for nothing. It was just nothing. So I kept trying, finally got a little fire. But Later on, we went on vacation to Pigeon Forge and went into the knife store down there, and they got everything, you know, all the good stuff. And I thought, man, this is, Brother Dale, this is where I can get me a hatchet. I need a hatchet. If I'm going to build a fire and do all this, I need something to cut that wood with, you know. And I thought, I'll go over there. And finally, you know, if you've ever been to that store, it's big. And I went in there and kind of figured everything out, went to the hatchet place. And I said, I'm looking for a hatchet. And he said, I got just what you need. I got the one you want. He said, it's probably the sharpest blade in the building. I said, I don't want the dullest one. I have to have that one. I mean, you don't understand. I'm going camping one of these days. I haven't went yet. I'm planning on it, okay? I'm planning on it. But he showed me something, and I'll be honest with you, he just about scared me to death with it, because he pulled it out and he started bringing it out and everything and pulled it off the chart or off the shelf there. And he said, now be careful. He said, that thing will cut you. And I was like, ooh, I don't know if that was a sales pitch or what, but he was all about it, you know. And he says, again, probably the sharpest blade in the store. And I was like, well, that's the one I'm going to have, even before we even started talking about price. And I'll go ahead and say this here. You want to get people's attention, walk into church with one of these this morning. I tried to meet a few people here, but they're like, what is going on? Brandy, she said, what are you doing? I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You can trust me. It's okay. Don't worry about it. But I want to use it as an illustration this morning. You know, iron sharpeneth iron is what the Bible says. And I thought that was an interesting thing. And I had that, and it came to my mind. And it says here also, iron is one of the hardest and most common and most useful of all metals. And I thought that was kind of neat. You look that up, and it talks about sharpen. Iron sharpeneth iron. So you talk about rubbing that together, or having that friction together, or that common fellowship together. You put it together. It gives a keen edge, or it makes more keen. It makes more eager, and it makes more sharp. You and I should do that for each other when we come to church. We really should. It is absolutely a time of worship, but I can't emphasize enough how important it is that it's also a time of encouraging one another. This is where I get my encouragement from. You get out in the world, there's not much to be excited about. Not if you're looking at the Lord's return, or if you're looking at the things of God. It's not a whole lot to be excited about. And I see a lot of times, I see down and sad countenances. What's a countenance? You and I are supposed to sharpen our countenances. That's the contents of the body, the outline, the appearance, the face. We see the difference between a smile and a frown, the countenance. It's a favor, or to encourage one another. In these last days, I can't express to you enough how important it is that we encourage each other. Just thinking about it this week, again, sometimes it's just no reason. Sometimes you just feel kind of down, kind of blah, but you might get a text, you might get a phone call, you might get something from somebody, and it just uplifts you. And I see the importance of us doing that. We're going to see an illustration here in 2 Kings, which I think is probably one of the best ways to give this illustration for many different reasons. I could have entitled this a lot of different things. I've had I don't know how many different thoughts of titles running through my head, but I just want to title this morning, Keep Your Edge. Keep your edge. And I think it's important that we really focus on this and just learn and grow from it. You probably heard this account in the Bible, and it's a miraculous thing that took place. You know, you think about Elijah and you think about Elisha. There was a lot of miracles that took place. Elijah, I don't have a count, but I believe Elisha was probably with his double portion, a part of twice the miracles that Elijah had. But you hear probably more about Elijah. But this is something I think very interesting for us to see here. 2 Kings chapter 6, we'll read verses 1 through 7, and we'll get to the message this morning. And it says, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried, and he said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and he cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee, And he put it in his hand and he took it. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again for this day. God, I thank you so much for the word that you've given to us, your word, God, that we have it, that we can learn from it, be guided by it, Lord, if we'll apply it to our lives. God, that we can be encouraged with it, Lord. I just pray to be an encouragement this morning. God, I ask that you preach through me. God, I know that I can't do anything, stutter and stammer around, God, but it's all you and it's all about you, God. It's all for you. We want you to be uplifted. Lord, I pray that the church be uplifted. Again, we pray for the Hodges family and what they're facing, God. Just be with them and place your arms of comfort around them, God. Lord, I pray for our church as we begin to prepare or think about revival, God. We've been talking about that and praying about it, God. I just pray, Lord, that you send what we need, when we need it, God, and how we need it. We want it to be what you want it to be, God, not just another set of meetings or anything, God. We need to hear from heaven, God. We need to hear from you. We need to be together with one another, Lord, in unity, God. And I just pray that you help us with that. God, be with us here today. Anyone lost? Anyone, Lord, whatever they're facing, God, I just pray that you be with them. Be with us, Lord. Be with me. Be with us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this is an interesting beginning to this story here. It kind of happens fast, and it's one of those, if you read too quickly, you probably blow by it and look for another miracle or look for another thing, as all the other things that are going on in the Bible here during this time, there's a lot of movement. But if you slow down and really look at it, it's something that will really help us. There's a lot to pull from it. Any miracle that you see in the Bible is not a small miracle in the eyes from man, but God can do all things. And we know that and we trust him with that. And we see a group of people here that were working together. We see that they were in unity and they were in God's work. And I really enjoy how this comes together. And it says, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, now wasn't Elisha going to them, it was the sons coming to him. What he had here, if you wanted to call it in modern terms, you'd probably call it a seminary, but it was a Bible college, or it was a college of teaching. I wouldn't necessarily maybe say just Bible, but it was teaching them the ways, teaching them what God's word has to say, and it was a place of teaching. And he had them together, and the young people here that he was teaching, these sons, they said, It's too small. We've got too small of a place here. And it says, and the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. It's too small. These young people are saying, it's time that we expand a little bit. It's time to grow. And boy, that's a good problem to have. If you need to make more room around God's work, that's a good problem to have. People wanting to do more, and I like here that it wasn't just Elisha that was driving this, it was the young people. They came to him. It was different peoples in his group that came to him and said, we want to do this. And he said, let us go, I pray thee, into Jordan, down next to the river. Plenty of trees, it's a very fruitful place to be. And it says, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. He said, I think that is okay. Let's do that. Let's expand. Let's move God's work. Let's move it forward. You know, that should be in the forefront of our minds as Christians. Not other things that we have in our lives that take the precedence of it. Have you really thought about what your mission is? What God would have you to do? What's something that you do for the Lord? Even outside of just the church. What's something that the Lord has laid on your heart to do to encourage people? There's so many different things that we can do. Independently or even together as a church. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, go ye, let's move it forward. And I like what it says here in verse number 3. This is a very important verse to me. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. These young people wanted the preacher, God's man, to go with them. And that's not a common thing in this day and time. Do you agree with that? How often do you think in your daily life, I'm going to go do something, we better call the preacher and see if he wants to go with us? I mean, let's just be honest. That don't happen a lot. I don't get a lot of phone calls. Hey, we're going to go, you want to go with us? Brother Tim didn't invite me to Mountain City on his trip. If you was here, you know what that is. That's inside joke. But honestly, a lot of times when people plan things or have things, a lot of times they're not thinking about, let's take the man of God with us. They're not thinking that way. You see, that's important. You see, these people, these young people, they had the right heart about them. They had the right mind about them. And, you know, it's October. Some of my pastor friends were joking around and say, hey, it's Pastor Appreciation Month. Enjoy every bit of it. And I was like, amen. Amen. We wait all year for this. Amen. It's a blessing. You know, it's good to be wanted. I wanted to tell you that. It's good to be wanted. That's an important thing. They wanted the man of God to go with them. They didn't say we better leave him behind. He's too square. He'll probably hang us up. He'll probably not let us do all the things we want to do. You see, they didn't have nothing to hide. They're moving forward with God's work. It's all above board. It was all a good thing. They said, hey, we want you to go with us. I see the importance here of people wanting to have the power of God with them or on their life. They wanted to stay in direction. I read this sometime back and wrote this down from Matthew Henry. Good disciples desire always to be under good discipline. Good disciples always desire to be under good discipline. Any kind of thing, I'll say thing, if it be camping or whatever it is, anything that you want to be good at or do, you have to be disciplined at it. If you want to be good at knowing what the Bible says, you have to be good at studying. You have to put your time into it. Things don't just happen and fall out of the sky and you just know it. You have to put your time and effort into it, and there should be a value placed on that time. There should be a value placed on the people who put that time and energy into doing it. How often do you pray for your Sunday school teacher? Honestly, I want you to think about that. How often do you pray for Brother Nathan? How often do you pray for the officers of the church and what they do for the Lord? How often do you pray for them? Or is that something that just happens on Sundays and Wednesdays? Let me tell you, it's not something that just happens on Sundays and Wednesdays for them. There's preparation that takes place. I can't tell you how often that things roll over in my mind. How can I say this, Lord, in the right way? Lord, bring this out the right way all throughout the week. I just want it to be right. Brandy teaching Sunday school, she talks to me about different things, about how can I say this the right way, or we talk about different things that took place in the Bible. That's a weekly thing. If you don't teach, if you don't preach, if you don't partake in the choir, what do you do through the week? How much time do you spend with God? Are you disciplined enough to do that? So there's a lot that goes into it. Life is busy. You know, my life is busy. I still work and do things, and we get caught up in a lot of things, trying to take care of things at work and take care of things with the school system. It's busy time, but guess what? This still takes precedence. This is still the most important thing. I'll tell you, if we're really, again, I'm not getting past this with revival. If we're really wanting to have that, then we all have to take part in it, not just a couple. All of us have to want it. God said He would send it if we would turn our hearts from our wicked ways and seek Him. He said He would heal our land, did He not? But we complain about our land not being healed, but I don't see the brokenness. I don't see the brokenness in the desire to have what the Lord would have for us. It just don't just happen. If we really want what He has for us, there needs to be a seeking. We need to be disciplined in what we're going, on what we're doing, what we're planning to do. Again, I am just so thankful these young men wanted the man of God to go with them. And I tell you, it proved to be worth their while. They get to a situation that they don't know what to do. They needed some guidance. They needed some help. You know, this whole thing about iron sharpeneth iron, I still think about that. There's a lot of friction with that. I think sometimes people today get their feelings hurt so easily that they don't understand maybe that a person is trying to help them and not trying to hurt them. Correction is a hard thing to do. Correction isn't always an easy thing to do, and you want to help people. We say that every Sunday probably, but then how is it going to be taken? How is it going to be taken in? Is it going to be understood? You know, you think about what they told me. They said here, they said, yes, you take this right here, we'll sell you this, but you know, it's sharp today, but you need to keep it sharp. And of course, they have something to do that. I was scared to death of it. When I carried it out of the store, it's like a loaded gun. I'm like, do I need a permit for this thing? And he had me scared to death. And I was like, I don't want to sharpen it. It's probably too sharp already. But you think about getting out in the world, it doesn't take long for you to get dull. You know, you put this thing in the right place. I remember the first time I had it out, we were cutting up some old branches and everything, and Brandy had her fire pit, and I couldn't wait to burn something. I'm going to cut something down, and I'm going to burn something. That's just, it's time for it. So finally, I get this out, and she said, you be careful, you're going to cut yourself. I'm like, I know. So I went out there, and I started chopping and cutting a little bit, just sitting down, taking it easy. You know how it is when you're trying to get used to something. I got a little bit more excited with it. I'm like, well, if I'm going to cut something in two, I'm going to have to, you know, put a little bit into it. I did, and I cut my finger. I did. It glanced off and cut. I was like, there it is. You put your eye out. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. She said, honey, I told you. I said, I was. But I used it a little bit, and I was able to go back, and I watched the video on how to sharpen this thing up, and I sharpened it up, put that edge back on it. It's kind of exciting, you know, that's how it is. That's how it is when we get together at church. That's how it is when we get together with our brothers and sisters, is how it should be. But you know how the world is. You get out in the world and you mess with it. If you take that blade and you hit it into the ground, what's going to happen? It's going to get dull pretty quick, isn't it, Brother Archie? Real quick. One of the worst things you can do with the chainsaw, you think it's a powerful device and you think it's nice and strong, but if you're cutting into wood and you get down in the ground, you're dulling that thing real quick. It's the same thing for Christians. We get out in the world, we start dabbling in the world, we're going to get dull really quick. Something to think about right there. But to stay on topic with what was going on here. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. He said, I'll go with you. I'm honored and I'm thankful that you've asked for me to come with you. So he went with them and they came to Jordan and they cut down wood. They got to work. So that's a beautiful thing. That's what I love about times when we get together as a church, if it's a work day or if it's Bible school or whatever it is, when we get together as a body and we work together for God. That's the highlights of my life. I'm being honest with you. Thank God my family is part of our church, and then our church family, when we get together, that's one of my favorite times. I feel like we're actually doing something for the Lord, and we're doing it together. And that's what they were doing here. They were furthering together. They were working together and laboring together. And that's how it should be. And I really find this interesting. Verse number 5, it says, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So was he out in the world just carrying on, or what was he doing? No, he was a part of God's work. You see, that's what gets me sometimes or catches my attention sometimes, Brother Nathan. I feel and I have a desire and I want to be about God's work, but still sometimes the world gets me down. I'm like, Lord, why do I feel down? Why do I feel upset? I feel like I'm trying to dedicate my time for study, try to dedicate my time to you, family, and all these things, but why? But you know, that's how we're designed. We get run down the best we can do. The very best we can do, we lose our edge if we want to or not. I think that's God's way sometimes of showing us that it's not within us. It's Him. It's Him that's without us. It's Him that we have to trust on. It's not just that we trust in ourselves. But you see, this young man, he was cutting and the axe head fell off into the water and he cried, alas. You know, what I like about this is he didn't try to hide it. He didn't try to hide it at all. You know what Christians try to do today if they get in trouble a lot of times? They try to hide it. You know, he was out there and he was cutting. He was working. He was doing what the Lord would have him to do, what he was doing with the group, and it was a good work. He was trying to expand and further God's work. What better work is there? He's out there working. He's cutting down the trees, and all of a sudden, the axe head fell off. Now, how useless is this right here? How useless or how useful would this be? You think about that. I brought this for illustration, not to scare anybody. I just thought a picture's worth 1,000 words. But you think about words. You think about that. What do Christians do a lot of times today? Well, I don't want them to think bad of me. I don't want my friends to think that I'm into something. I don't want my friends to think that I'm failing, and they try to hide it.
Well, how could he even try to hide that? Well, he just goes about. Now, how silly does that look? If he went on just trying to chop at the trees without this, now how silly would that be? How often do we try to do that? Do we try to go on with God's business without God in our heart a lot of times? Do you? We get too busy. Say, Lord, I'm just going to carry on without you on this one. I know I should have prayed. Brother Norman, I know I should have prepared. I know I should have studied. I just didn't have time, so I'm going to go on without you. Well, that's a risk that you don't want to take. That's doing this. And guess what? If your friends, your family, people see you trying to go about God's business without your edge, guess what? What are they doing? Obviously, they don't know they've lost their edge. They're hitting a stick against a piece of wood. What do they think they're going to do? You see, it's important that we stop and we realize that it's not within us. It's not us. It's never been us. What was very special about this young man here is what he says. One was fell on the beam, and it says right here, and he cried. You know, that concerned him. He realized something at that point. He didn't try to hide what he lost. He owned up to it, and he took accountability. He didn't quit. He cried for help, and he took responsibility. He said, alas. That's showing great concern when he screamed that out. He's saying, alas, master, for it was borrowed. He said, I borrowed this off of somebody. It's one thing if you're using an item that belongs to you and you tear it up or you lose it, that's yours. But is it not a little bit different when it's somebody else's? You see, one of the things I mentioned about iron, it says here, if you read the definition of it, the hardest, most common, most useful. The thing about it is during this time, weapons, tools were hard to come by during this time. See, these were poor people. They didn't have all these things. These prophets, they didn't have money. They didn't have means. This young man wanted to do God's work, but he even had to borrow the tool to do it. To me, he had a desire and a heart for God. The importance of seeing this here, it was borrowed. You know, that's how we are. We need to see this. We think that we do so much for God sometimes. God, you need me. I'm doing all this for you. God, why is these bad things and hard things happening? Why is it like that? But, you know, we don't understand and see how much we borrow from God. The very fact that we're here with time to be here, that's God's time. That's not our time. The breath that we're breathing, the air that we're breathing, guess what? It's not mine. It's not yours. That's God's air. The very way that we got here this morning gave us the health to be here. Guess what? God gave us that. But yet we act like, God, we do so much for you. Wish you could help me out this one. That's how we act. But it was God's. It's all God's. It's his. And we borrow that. He wanted to move forward and do something for the Lord. And it was all borrowed time. You see, there's going to be a day that you and I, we're going to face God. It says, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. You know, we're going to have to give account for everything that we've done, the time that God gave to us. Said, I gave you this time. I gave you this life. I gave you this opportunity. What did you do with it? That's the importance that we need to see of that this morning. This is borrowed. What a blessing it is that God created you and I to give us a place in his work. You ever think about it like that? Just to be able to try to do something for him. But I like how this young man responded. He didn't try to hide it. He didn't try to get out of it. And honestly, he didn't have anything to hide. He was just trying to do something for the Lord. He was trying to work. In verse number 6, weren't they happy? I mean, isn't it happy? Wasn't it good that they took the man of God with them on this trip? What would they have done if you took out that part? Where would they have been? The man of God said, where fell it? Where fell it? I almost thought about entitling the service that this morning, because a lot of times when you talk to people, it feels like they're out of the will of God or things are not just like they used to be. I tell you, that's the question that you need to ask yourself. Where did it fall? If you've ever been in the will of God, doing the work of the Lord the way you feel like he should, that he would have you to be doing it, and you feel that presence, you feel that power on your life, and if you ever lose it, the first thing you need to ask yourself is, where did I leave it? Because God didn't leave you. What changed? What changed on my end? Because God never changes. I change not, the Bible says. What changed in your life? Did you stop Bible study? Did you stop praying? Did you get too busy? Did your mind get on something else? You know, if you want to lose your edge, that's how you do it. That's how you put your blade into the earth. That's how you do it. You see the importance of this here. That axe handle, that axe head, the cutting edge part, when it flew off and it went into the River Jordan there, it was useless. Completely useless. No matter even how sharp it was, once it was off the end of the handle, it was useless. You know how important our testimonies are? Guarding our testimony, taking care of our testimonies. So important. Verse number 6, and it says, the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. He was paying attention. He knew exactly where he lost it. He was able to go right back to it. This is where I lost it. And I thought this was very interesting here, what Elisha did. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Boy, isn't that an amazing thing there? You got this person that had everything going right, everything was working right, and all of a sudden he lost his edge. He lost the axe head into the water there. He lost it. And you see what was done here. He cut down a stick in thither, threw it in thither, and the iron did swim. He brought it right back up. Boy, that's a very interesting miracle, wouldn't you say? Don't you always look for the typology in these things in the Bible? He threw down a stick. He went to a place. He knew where he had lost. He had lost his item. He knew where it was lost and what brought it back up. It was that stick that was thrown down in. You know, to the believer and the lost person alike, it's the same thing. You think about this. Some 2,000 years ago, there was a tree that was cut down. You know what that tree's sole purpose was? To become a cross. You think about the uselessness, how it is when you lose your edge as a Christian, you lose your edge, your testimony's not where it should be. You cannot work for God how you want to in that state. And if you're lost, you can't work for God anyway. But you think about what the cure was. There was a tree, there was a stick that was cut down, and it was threw down right where the problem was. You see, that's where you and I meet Christ today. We meet him at the cross. I find that very interesting. You don't have to look far in the Old Testament or the New Testament. You're going to find the gospel. You know, if you're here today and you're saved and you've lost your edge, you need to get closer to the cross. You need to get closer to the Lord. You need to go to him. I tell you, this whole thing about saying, I'm serious about it. I want to be closer to God. I want to do something for God. And not willing to lay that thing down, you're not going to get there. It's lip service. You really want to do business with God, you start laying that down. You start seeing where the cross is, where you make contact with the cross. The man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and he cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. He brought it back up. He was able to get his edge back. It was barred. You know what kind of a relief that would be? That's a big miracle to see there. Just to see how that done, the typology, to think on that and meditate on it, the people that was there at that time. Has anybody here seen an axe head swim? Have you? I haven't. I've never seen. That's a miracle. What took it to make it raise up? Look at verse number 7. I'm closing here. It says, therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and he took it. I think that's a beautiful thing there. I think he was in amazement, probably in shock, thankful that he had people around him that could help him, knowing what he was there to do. And all of a sudden it raised back up. He said, there it is. Take it. See, if we get serious about doing business with God, he's telling you, I'm here. The business is here. I'm here to handle it. I'm here to take care of it. but you have to take it. How pleased do you think he was to be able to get that and retrieve that, knowing that now I can give this back to this person? I don't have to find a way to pay for it. I don't have to find a way to make it work. It's been returned to me. You see, that's how God is. If you're here lost this morning, you're just as lost as that axe head down in the middle of the river. The cross is the only thing that can help you. That's the only thing that can pull you up out of that. If you're here this morning and you're saved, and by the title, if you've lost your edge, the only way that you can get it back is to give it back to God. If you will stand with me this morning, ask Brother Nathan, if you will, to get us a song.